This message, I'm not going to preach on the whole passage. It's got so much in it. I remember reading a book on the, it was about John 17. It was this thick. So you don't want me to preach through John 17. It's a book this thick on just that prayer of Jesus. And it's a wonderful prayer. But I am just going to take one of those, that one verse that I put in the worship folder, or worship flyer, John 17:4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. That's what Jesus said. Well, we get accustomed to the way things are. We get accustomed to just how things, the status quo. And change, having changes, becomes difficult sometimes for us. Now, some changes come slowly, and we don't hardly notice, and that happens sort of like with aging. We have start having physical problems, you know, but they sort of come on slowly, and we don't notice them as much until all of a sudden we sort of wake up to the fact that, you know, I'm just not where I used to be. And then there are other changes that are like quick, that real fast, that happen, sudden changes, like perhaps the loss of a loved one, or moving to a new location. That's a big change. Some people get ill after that. Or there's acute illness. I mean, it just comes on real quick, suddenly, and it's acute. Now, among those kinds of changes, those are more noticeable, and they're harder sometimes to adjust to, because they're so rapid. They just sort of sneak up on us and take us unaware. Now, among those kind of changes of both kinds, sometimes there's temporary changes that will, something will get better, or will, just for the time being, you know. I'm out of my house because they're debugging it or something, they're spraying it, and I have to go back in 2 days later or something. Well, that's temporary changes. But then there are permanent changes. Now, when something is permanent, it has changed, it's not going to go back, we have to say, well, that experience is finished. It's over. It's finished. It's not going to happen. And a new experience begins. A new set of circumstances. Well, I've entitled this message, A New Beginning. A New Beginning. Because that's what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. And we just had a message on the resurrection. And we just had Easter. But we are in what they call Eastertide. And we're experiencing, well, what is it that suddenly everything has changed, really? And that's what we're going to talk about. Because when Jesus, what he did, he finished the past. He sort of said, it is finished. He finished the past, and he began the future. In his prayer, he said, and I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work you have given me to do. Now that prayer of his anticipated what he would say from the cross when he was dying, when he said his last words, it is finished. He was anticipating the real work was completely done now. And from that moment onward, some things that people were accustomed to were now forever changed. They were over. A new beginning had happened. Jesus finished the past and he began the future. Well, one of the things that changed was the Old Testament. The Old Covenant ended. It was finished. And the New Covenant began. The New Testament. That's what we have. Whenever you see the New Testament and the Old Testament, you see those two? Well, the real word there is covenant. And the ritual law that was in the Old Testament, that was God's special covenant that touched the people of Israel. But that covenant and those rituals, all of those rituals and sacrifices and so on, they foreshadowed the coming of a new covenant that would touch the whole world. So when it ended, the new one began. Now, when we think of the Old Testament, we think, well, there's a lot of moral laws in the Old Testament. It's not just ritual. It's not just sacrifices. It's not just cultural things. It is actually some moral laws. Now, those moral laws that are listed in the Old Testament, like the Ten Commandments, those are permanent. But the sacrificial system and the ritual and the tabernacle and all of those things, those were temporary and they symbolized holiness. They only symbolized the holiness that God wanted those people to have. And they pointed, almost like they were a prediction, they pointed to what was coming, a new covenant. They pointed to a salvation that the law itself could not bring about. It could only point at that salvation. Well, the old sacrificial system in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, could not take away sins. That's why it could not bring that salvation. It could only point to it. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4 says this. The law, talking about the Old Covenant law, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, they wouldn't have stopped offering them, for the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It's impossible for them to take away sin. Now that's why they were called an atonement, because the atonement meant a covering over the sin. And that's all they could do. They could cover them over with blood, and that way God would not judge them. But every year they had to repeat them. And every time they had to repeat the sacrifice again and again, because the sins had not been taken away. Well, Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus finished what the Old Testament left undone. He said, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do." He was closing up the Old Covenant and bringing in the new. John the Baptist, who was really what we say the last Old Testament prophet, sort of like the go-between to bring the Old Testament and the New Testament together. Well, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming to him to be baptized, here's what he said. "Behold, the Lamb of God who covers over the sins of the world." No. "The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, when the Jewish people heard that, they didn't understand that language. That's not the language that we speak. He's the Lamb of God that covers over, yes, but not takes away. Takes away, that's impossible. Well, this was unknown. Except they knew that the Lamb was used to atone, to cover over, and that the Passover Lamb, the Passover Lamb was, the blood of the Passover Lamb was put on the doorpost to, and whenever they had the Passover, they had a lamb to remember what happened back in Egypt when the blood of the lamb over the doorpost kept the angel of death from touching the Jewish homes. And that's why it's called the Passover. The angel of death passed over the Jewish homes. So they remembered that. But the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Well, when Jesus was on the cross, he finished the Old Testament atonement, the covering overs, the things that were covering. And he established the New Testament where there would be no more sacrifices, because the one sacrifice that the other sacrifices pointed to now had arrived. They could stop the sacrifices, stop killing the animals, you know. I think that organization called PETA would be against us if we were doing animal sacrifices still today. Well, that's all over. This was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And when Jesus was on the night of his betrayal, we say this again and again every time we have communion, he stopped the Passover. The Passover changed. It is no longer the Passover anymore. We don't celebrate the Passover. As Christians, we don't. I tell you why. Because Jesus said a new covenant. He said this. He took the bread, he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. He was the Lamb. He was proclaiming himself right there that I'm the Lamb. I'm the one that pointed to. I'm the Paschal Lamb. I'm the Passover Lamb. God will pass over your sins, not because they've been covered anymore. I will take them away. I will redeem you. Well, the cross divides history, you know. It divides history chronologically. You know, B.C., A.D., before Christ, after Anno Domini. Some people say after death, but it's not. Anno Domini. Now, they tried to change that. They put it the common, I forget, C.E., common year, common era. They tried to change that before the common era, B.C., and after the common era, C.E. Well, most people still say A.D. and B.C. They do. And they know what they mean when they say that. Because Christ divided history. At the cross, history was divided. But salvation history was also divided. The Old Testament is gone now. The New Testament has come. Things have changed permanently. People do not come. Sinners do not come by the Old Covenant, by bringing a lamb sacrifice anymore. It doesn't happen anymore. They still may do it, but it doesn't work. Because who are they doing it for? God has already provided himself a lamb, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. And now we must, sinners have to come to God in only one way, through his Son. It says in Hebrews that he entered the most holy place once for all, by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. He has, that word redeem, redemption means to purchase back. He has bought us back forever. There's no more. It's like that Old Testament is over. The New Testament has begun. There's another change that took place that's even more dramatic. And we say, oh, that's pretty dramatic. I mean, that's our Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's pretty dramatic. But this other change takes in the whole world, not just the Jewish nation and so on. It's the reign of terror. The reign of terror is over. And the reign of peace, the kingdom of peace, is here. When Jesus cried, it is finished, he was talking about accomplishing the work that his Father had given him to do. He was completing it. It was complete. And that included one thing that was very, very important. The defeat of Satan. The cross defeated Satan. And here's what it says in John, 1 John. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. In other words, he started this thing off. It was the devil. We always point to Adam and Eve, but that's true. But who initiated that? The devil. And so, who gets us to sin? The devil. Okay, we always blame it on the devil. Well, the Bible blames it on the devil. It says, he who does what is sinful is of the devil. The devil is perpetrating them to do this. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. Isn't that interesting? You say, well, I know why Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. And if you think about it, that's everything that made us unhappy. Everything in the whole world that makes us unhappy, it comes from sin. It comes from sin, or the effects of sin. Now, initially, what was the work of the devil? What is Satan trying to do? And he did accomplish what he was trying to do initially. Initially, it was to blind us from seeing reality the way that God sees it. Now, you say, well, I don't understand that one. Listen to this. Satan wanted to blind us from seeing reality the way that God sees it. By opening our eyes, that was the promise, wasn't it? By opening our eyes to moral independence from God. He wanted to open us to a whole new dimension of living the way he lived. In moral independence from God. Now Satan got humanity to swallow a lie. Literally. To swallow a lie. That we should have the knowledge of good and evil on our own. It should be ours. We should have it from inside of us. So you take this fruit, it will open your eyes, you will be like God. Well, not really. Not really like God. Learning right from wrong, should always have been in relationship to a direct personal, direct contact with God. That's how God meant it. He had told them what to do. He had given them what was right and what was wrong. And he said what was wrong. Don't eat that. It'll kill you. And the fruit itself brought moral independence from God. And immediately, what happened was that the moral independence from God was also a spiritual separation from God. And you know what spiritual separation of God means? Death. Spiritual death. Humanity was banished. This is the work of the devil, remember. Humanity was banished from Eden. And Dennis pointed this out. I've forgotten the term. The word Eden means pleasure. A paradise of pleasure. We were banned from that and from the tree of life that would give eternal life if we ate from it. And God did not want us to stay in that state of spiritual death, moral independence from God. So he sent us out of Eden and away from the tree of life. Death became a curse that covered the whole planet because we were the leaders. You say, what did the planet do? The creation didn't do anything wrong. No. But we were supposed to lead creation. And so whatever happens to the leader happens to whoever follows. And so God brought a curse of death and decay over the whole of creation. We don't live in a Eden anymore. There are some things in creation that are wonderful and beautiful, just like I described in that poem. But it's over. It's over until something new happens. You see, that was like the reign of terror that Satan had perpetrated on the earth. But the cross marks the point where God began to undo what Satan had done. At the cross, Jesus bought back, he redeemed, he bought back humanity's destiny. And humanity's destiny was first of all, we had to have a way to exit Satan's scheme for us. To get away from what Satan wanted for us. And come back into a direct personal relationship with God, which was what Adam and Eve had with God originally. To be in a personal, close relationship with God. And it's described, this whole thing of being taken out of Satan's scheme and put into God's scheme of things in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Now, part of Satan's plan of his reign of terror was to get us to die. He wanted us to die. He wanted to bring death to us, and he did. That was part of our mortality that we have today is part of that. But in Christ's cross and in his resurrection, that fear of dying, is finished for every believer. It's over. It is done. Because in Hebrews it says this, since the children, that's us, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. In Christ, the fear of death is removed. Why? Because Jesus was the first person, human person. He became one of us. He had to make a victory over death. You know, we say, well, death is permanent. Ah, but here comes a human, Jesus. God become flesh. And He breaks the power of death. Now that gives us a lot of hope, doesn't it? Christ's victory over death is every believer's hope of the same victory. Well, are we back to Eden yet then? Are we? No. No, we're not back to Eden. But a renewed creation. And a creation that's renewed far beyond, far more extravagantly than what was in the beginning. I mean, it's far beyond it. That paradise of Eden was maybe a taste of what it's going to be like. It's going to be much, much better. That awaits us at the coming of Christ. He's coming back, and He's bringing that along with Him, a restoration of the creation. And in the meantime, why this is so important today is because His Holy Spirit has brought something that was the best thing that Eden had to offer. And He's brought it to us now. And you know what that is? The best thing that Eden had to offer to Adam and Eve, God has brought through the Holy Spirit, coming to indwell believers, He has brought back to us now. It's today. And that best thing offered is God's presence in our lives, right with us. Jesus promised us. He said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. God will make his home in us. That's why we are called the temple of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has brought Father, Son, Holy Spirit to dwell within us, the Trinity dwelling within our hearts. Well, the clear message of Eastertide, the clear message of this whole season of Eastertide is that Christ's cross and His resurrection have brought a new beginning for this world and for humanity. Jesus finished the past and He began the future. He ended the old covenant, He began the new covenant, where there are no more sacrifices, only one, His, that we place our faith in. He has gotten rid of the reign of terror. Now we do face death, don't we? Each of us face a physical death until the Lord returns, and then those people won't face death. They'll just be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at death. But we face death, but not with the fear of death anymore. Because right on the other side of death is our Lord. And He's waiting for us all to get there so He can come back and do this whole thing over again in a better way. A new creation. The effects of His death and resurrection start now for all who will accept Him as their Lord and Savior. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. The old is finished. The new has started. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Eastertide. Thank you for what the resurrection continues to mean on a daily basis in our lives. Lord, we do not have to face death thinking that that's it, that's over. All the things that, and the decay and the disease and things that are taking away different things from us, Lord, different abilities to do things, to enjoy life, all of that that's being taken away will be restored on the other side when Christ gives us back our bodies in resurrection. Thank you so much for these promises, and thank you for what you've done. You've done it all out of love. Help us to love you back with all of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.